you to be touched and for us to be the body and grow up into the fullness. And our goal isn't to grow a big church, but our goal is to grow big people. And kingdom people are big people. We're called to be big people. We're called to be the influencers. We're called to be the salt of the earth, not the complainers of the earth, not the critics of the earth, definitely not the judges of the earth, but the salt, the preservative, the preserving force, the element that is in the culture, the element that's in every business and company, the element that's in the school systems where you find yourself, the element that's in the community. We're to be the salt. Anybody can see the problems. We're to see and to pray and to intercede and bring solutions. We're to not join in with the complaint of wherever, but we're called to this higher place of bringing reconciliation and standing in the gap. And sometimes the most powerful place that you can be is in that place of intercession. And we're living in a culture where everyone's scrambling. The power of the social media and the temptation of, hey, here's a platform, here's where I can make my voice heard. And it can be very, very fruitful. It can be very helpful. It can also be very other things, can't it? And we can join in this competition to have a voice. And I would encourage you to remember the real power that you have is that power of true. Prayer loses its meaning if I just say prayer, or intercessor. But it's that real position of standing in the gap and making the connection between heaven and earth. And it can be an ugly place. You can get shocked, you know. You know, it's that thing where you touch the white wire and the black wire at the same time, and you know, it can make a man scream like a little girl. I mean, you know. And sometimes getting too connected to heaven and earth can be a shock. It can make you jump. And it can be unpleasant, and it can be difficult. I began to say this the other week. I was, when we were in worship, I looked over at Summer. Of course, she's very pregnant, and in that stage where it's just miserable and tough, and all the feelings, sensations, and she really wanted to be pregnant. So, you know, I just go, I think you really doubly chose this, you and your husband, you know. But here's what when I looked at her, I went, maybe some of you are also pregnant, because the pregnancy can be a very miserable season of life, but you're carrying something that's going to come forth. And in the process of carrying that vision, you can be so miserable, you're like, what, why am I doing this? Is it worth it? Is it worth the pain? Is it worth the struggle? And sometimes your vision, you're pregnant with a vision, and you think you'd be, you know, oh, happy day. Not necessarily. It can create, the vision you carry can create a lot of conflict and tension. That's okay if you understand. I'm carrying a baby, and my body's all contorted and out of sorts, and things are pushing and pulling that shouldn't be, and you know, I feel sick, I feel stretched, I can't bend over, I can't, you know. Yeah, you're pregnant. And sometimes when we're encountering one another, maybe we just need to remind or ask the question, are you pregnant with a vision? Are you past due? It really gets serious then, doesn't it? When were you due? Last week. Now we're really in the mode, like, you know. And I believe spiritual things are the same way. And it's wonderful that we carry that and we take it through that whole gestation period, because things that are born prematurely often die or are weak at best, right? So it's okay if the vision tarries. That's actually okay. You're like, God, when? And he's just like going, wait on it. wait for it. Summer was telling me the Shiloh is watching the new washing machine, and the new washing machines, they move a little bit, and then water sprays in it, and then they're weighing and measuring. You know, we have one of those, and they're really cool. And he's watching this thing, and he starts unprompted, wait for it. Wait for it, you know, and it moves. Wait for it. In Psalms 5, I was reading out of the Passion Translation. I'm going to reiterate things I was sharing last week. And man, it's still where my head is and my heart is. And in Psalms 5 in the Passion Translation, I know the way home, and I know you will welcome me into your house, for I am covered by your covenant of mercy and love. And I looked at that word, the wording of that verse, and I went, yeah, coverage. And we're very familiar sometimes, and I realize I'm having my awareness is more about how I'm feeling and perceiving myself than it is about the coverage that I have, the promises, the position that he says I have. He's there, he's good, I'm here, I'm struggling, but nothing's changed with him, but I've got feelings. Now, feelings are feelings, that's real, that's good, that's fine. We're made that way, you can't shut them off, that would not be a good thing. But it cannot be the place where you make major decisions and decide things. Got to look to something greater. And I realized, covered by covenant, and it's truly just like we have insurance policies, and in the details of the policy is the coverage. You pay the premium and you get the coverage. Here's the deductible. Here's what we cover. Here's what we don't cover. And in order to have peace of mind, you read the coverage, right? Hopefully you did that before you bought into the insurance. And you do your part, and it does its part. And it'd be tragic if you had health insurance, but you never tapped into it to pay your medical bills. It's tragic if your car gets wrecked or you almost run over a motorcycle. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm thinking insurance claim. Oh my God, you know. What would we say to one another? What would you say to the person sitting next to you? You know, it's like $2,000 to fix my car. Well, do you have insurance? Well, yeah, but I don't want to turn it. I don't want to. Well, isn't that why you pay it? And the same thing in God. We have this coverage and so many promises and so much stuff. How foolish for us when we catch each other worrying and fussed up about things. Maybe we should go, don't you have coverage for that? I don't know if I'm forgiven. Well, read the coverage. Read the description of what you have. But I don't feel forgiven. Well, meditate on what that is. You do have to trust that it's there. You do have to trust. You are going to have to apply some faith. You are going to have to trust. Let's look. And I see in verse 8, lead me, Lord, in the pathways of your pleasure. So the Lord's wanting to lead us in ways, and I want to be in, that's where awesomeness is finding the pathways of his pleasure and being in that. That's living in the zone. There is a zone. We talk about that in our culture and popular books, and like there's this realm where it's the zone. What is the zone? We all know that. We use it in sports and we use it in different language. It's like that's that place where you're dead on. You're in the game. You're in the zone. You've got the energy. You've got the focus. You know what the play is. Like you're in the zone. You show up for life. You're like, boom, I got this. I'm doing this. I'm in this. And find being aware of what the Lord's paths that are his pleasure is that. Don't you want that? Like to just kind of do a clean the slate on everything that preoccupies your life right now and go, could I just have a whoosh and get a reboot on what am I actually supposed to be doing right now? Like, really? Where's my energy really supposed to be? What's my money really supposed to be going to? What's this? I'm busy. I'm working hard. Am I in the zone? Or am I just all over the place and not getting anything done and not being fruitful? Remember, Jesus said this little thing in John 15 about the vine. I'm the vine, you're the branches. And there's a husbandman, and he's coming through the vineyard, and he's looking for fruit. We're like, we don't want to make anybody feel bad, but fruit is expected. Because a good investment has been made into you. And a great covenant, you got great coverage. You've got great promises. Fruitfulness is expected. Like, oh Lord, don't put pressure on me. I wouldn't, except I've loaded you up with resources and promises, and you've got what you need. I wouldn't, except I've given you everything you need. I've even given you a measure of faith to get started. That's true. And the thing I forgot, was it last week, mind blank, you know, all that? I was thinking about being at that wedding, doing that wedding in this really cool setting in the woods and the trees and the, you know, the Colosseum type thing, you know, whatever it was. And I tapped in and challenged this group of guests and witnesses. I tapped into their faith. I called forth their faith. And I said, you all have a measure of faith, and now I want you to extend your hand and bless this marriage. Because what does a marriage really look like if we as a group really bless it and put a blessing on it, put the Lord's name on it? That's the revelation of what a blessing is. And that'll bless me when I sneeze, whatever. Let's tap into the real thing and the real power of that. And that all of you have a measure of faith, and you can give a blessing to something, and it matters. It gives strength to it. I started to get a real revelation. We did a wedding that it's not just me because I'm official and et cetera, et cetera. It's a solemnized marriages, but as a group and guests and witnesses, we come together and we proclaim, we declare, and we make proclamation that this is a couple. There's power. That's the real power. The state of Ohio is just a piece of paper. The real kingdom revelation of the marriage is this proclamation and declaration. And we come and we declare married. And the Lord makes the same declarations over us, married. What's the scripture in Isaiah? You shall be called married. You won't be barren. You'll be married, and you'll have children. You'll multiply. You'll be fruitful. So when it tap into the provision, let's look back at Psalms 103, and I'm going to go back and forth with my New King James Version on my phone and Passion Translation. And how refreshing to meditate on the policy. To wake up in the morning and choose to meditate on the policy. So whatever the predominant feeling is, I don't know what your predominant feeling is when you wake up. It's probably, that would not be a good show and tell, probably. What is big? What's big on your mind on any given day? What preoccupies your thoughts? Some of you are like, I need a cup of coffee, you know. And that's good. I get that one. But that from the moment you awake, you begin to prepare an offering, and you begin to instead of talking about how you feel, you begin to interact with the Lord right away. Like, I practice this as much as I can. I begin to interact with Jesus right away in the Holy Spirit and the Father, the Holy Family, and meditate on them and who they are and what and who the Father is and who the Son is and who the Holy Spirit is, and interact so there's flow right away. And so that it's not about me and not about how I feel. It's about the Godhead. It's about the person, the three in one. And I interact and I bless the Lord, because that's what I was made for. I'm in the zone when I'm blessing the Lord. I'm in the zone when I'm going, "You're good. Good morning, Lord. You're gracious. I thank you for the benefits." Start meditating on what he said. I believe, I trust in what he says more than what I feel, more than what someone said about me, more than whether I think I failed yesterday or not, more than whether I'm aware I just got myself in another mess. How do I get out of this? With my whole heart and my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow and wonder and love before you, the holy God. Yahweh. I love songs with Yahweh in them. I got to get another song. There's several songs, good songs. I got to get another song worked up or grab one of these with Yahweh. I love that. There's a great Vineyard song that had Yahweh, that was by Yahweh, using that name. You are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness you've done for me? When you realize the only time you really feel good about life is when you're connected to him. And the rest of it is like, it's very fleeting. You can feel great for a moment, and then something comes along and snaps it out, right? Yeah. At some point, that falls apart. But when it's focused, when it's based on truly him and his goodness and interacting, you're on an adventure, and you're never alone, and it's never about you. It's about you and him, and it's about relationship, and it's about being in him. And the psalmist, how could I ever forget the miracles of kindness you've done for me? And this whole psalm is based on the psalmist remembering what he knows the promises are. And he just begins to repeat the promises. For what purpose? To remember. Why does he do that? Because we forget. And the circumstances of life and the issues of the day and things happen and they draw your attention and you're in turmoil inside and you're focused on this thing. You know the feeling. You know that you can spend long seasons of your time totally in that zone, and it's very bad for you. And it affects your body. It affects everything about you. You get into that negative stuff, the negative vibes, the fears, the worry, the doubt. That's not free. That costs you. That costs you. It affects your bones. It affects your nerves. It affects the cells of your body. I'm telling you, folks, scientifically, this has actually been proven. I should pull out some documentation about it. I hear it and I don't bring it, but there's documentation about this. It's been studied. It affects you. We're living beings, and every cell in our bodies and how we're perceiving, whether we're in faith or whether we're in fear or doubt, it affects your well-being, it affects your health, it affects your mind. Affects everything about you. You've kissed my heart with your forgiveness. We're into the policy now. You've healed me inside and out from every disease. And in Psalms 103 in the New King James, who forgives all your iniquities. Don't let me forget any of your benefits, Lord. Again, talks like insurance policy, doesn't it? It's like same language. The benefits. What are your benefits? Oh, here's my benefits. That should be, it needs to come up front. That's what I think. It needs to get off the doctrinal page of the website and get into our hearts and our everyday thinking. Remind yourself about the benefits. Remind yourself about the coverage. Like, talk to yourself about it. And you apply faith to that, and we're going to start accessing more because there's more. Now, we're not accessing it all, right? We know we're not. Can we say, I'm not accessing all of it? What I read, what I'm living, it's not quite connected, okay? Am I at the right church? Yeah. So there's more to go, and it's about connecting. Remember I talked about that? It's about getting the connection and staying, and when the connection happens, then the grace flows. And the goal is to stay connected so the grace can flow. Because there's no more grace that can be given except I need to connect with it. There needs to be a flow in my spirit, me choosing. And that connection happens when you praise, when you worship, when you give thanks, when you interact, when you pray, when you have conversation with Jesus. Number four, verse four, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And verse four, you've rescued me from hell and saved my life. That's language right to the point. You saved my skin, you got me. You rescued me. You've crowned me with love and mercy and made me a king. And this is David writing this, and Brian Simmons says the term king is implied. It was his position. It's what he became, and he's acknowledging the Lord. You made me king. Like, you did this. You promoted me. You put me in position. And you're all kings. We're all kings in our things, our places where we've been given authority and given a responsibility. In verse 5, who satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You're really grabbing hold of that promise as you hit your 60s and you're like, renew, you know. And actually, I mean, let's just jump off the train here for a second, but we're not really. What is this arthritis and this, you know, my joints ache? And I mean, what actually is it? And when the doctor, the chiropractor, whatever, oh, you just have arthritis. What if we go, no, hey, no. Why? Why should I? Is that necessary, actually, honestly? Or have we just accepted it? Well, yeah, I'm this, I'm that. We have better promises than to just go with that flow. Actually, we do. I've referenced Dwayne and Senia as well. They're so vibrant and full of life. They didn't come to this age in bitterness, so it looks different. They're still wonder. Everybody that meets them just loves them, enjoys them. Why is that? Because they're not bitter. Because they're in faith. Because they've taken the fabric of their life and chosen to love the Lord and serve the Lord in it, and they look different. I know they're a blessing wherever they go. Not all people their age are a blessing to be around. Some of you and I aren't a blessing to be around. What is that? It's the resident bitterness. It's the resident unforgiveness. It's the resident sin that's unconfessed. It's the stuff. It's the stuff. It builds up and it starts making deposits. And so let's not, you know, blame everything on physical stuff and go, maybe it doesn't have to be that way. It's muscles that are tight that should be relaxed. We should be like the most chilled out people on the planet, honestly. I've been to the chiropractor recently and with pain here and there, and it's like, I'm like, am I falling apart yet? Like, no, you just like tight as a banjo string. Feel this? Ah, yeah, I got it. Yeah, right there. Well, that shouldn't be. Because I'm rubbing that just as like I'm rubbing over here. Does that feel? No, that's fine. Well, I'm just doing the same thing here. There's a problem there. It's just, you know, you're like, what's up, Pastor? who satisfies your mouth with good things. Is that our testimony? Has the Lord satisfied your mouth with good things? Sometimes he has, but you're so busy being focused on what you don't have or what's gone wrong that you miss what is. You do have to choose these things, people. You have to wake up in the morning and not focus on what's not and focus on what is. And not focus on what you don't think you're going to get. That takes faith, actually. That's negative faith. Believing something bad is going to happen is faith in the opposite direction, but it is faith. I believe this is going to go bad. It probably will. I believe the car is going to break down. Probably will. I believe this relationship is going to fall apart. More than likely. Because you've applied faith to it. I believe. Stop. Could we stop that? And let's use real genuine wisdom with one another, especially the people we're close to, and be sensitive, but encourage each other to get up, 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 get up here. Let's walk up here. Let's get off of this. Let's get up here. Let's raise it. Raise the bar. And one of you in any of your households or your situations can change the atmosphere. You can bring the difference. Just don't try to fight that thing in that thing. Come and deal with it from this place, in faith, in hope, in promise. And this was in the Passion Translation. You satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. Supercharged. Wouldn't that be a great testimony to have as a body of people? Oh, you're supercharged. You must go to that church over there. You must go to church, period. Usually, people that go to church are not supercharged. They're something else charged. They should not be. It shouldn't be because the promises, we've got better promises than that. And we want to choose. You're a God who makes things right, giving justice to the defenseless. You revealed to Moses your plans. And I went, oh, yeah, that's cool. And I remember John 15. And he says, you're not servants anymore, you're friends. Remember this? And why did he say about that? Because the master doesn't reveal his plans to the servant. You just tell the servant, hey, go mow the grass and do this and wash the dishes and wash my laundry and do whatever. And the servant typically has no idea about your vacations and the vision of your life. You have no need to tell them, do you? Like, that it doesn't apply to them. Just do your job. Just clean my house, mow my grass, take care of my stuff, fix my car. But a friend, that's a whole different thing. And Jesus said, I make you friends. And here's the characteristic of friends. He said, I reveal to you everything I know about the Father. I share this with you. This was Moses. He knew the plans of the Father. This is us. We know the plans. Why would we take that for granted? We could be kept in the dark. Some people think they are. It's like, oh, no. Just read. Just hear the Spirit. Wait on the Lord. Get wisdom. But the plan is revealed. There are some mysteries that we have to work at going after. That's all right. It's the glory of God to give a mystery. It conceal a thing. It's the glory of a king to seek it out. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get this. I'm going to find out where the treasure is. It's hidden, but I know it's there. I'm going to find it. And the same with all the Lord has given us. So some things may be a mystery, but there's nothing that we can't go after. And he loves for us to come and seek and find. But it's not the same as being kept in the dark on purpose, like this doesn't apply to you. Because he loves it when we're intrigued. What are you doing? With the question, answers are irrelevant till you have a question. This could be the other reason the Lord waits to give us a lot of things. It's like, if I give you all this information, it'll be useless to you when you're not asking the question. I'm going to wait till you ask the question. Then I'm going to give you the information. Then I'm going to give you the answer. Then I'm going to give you the word. Moses, that was, he knew the plans of God. He understood. He was let in because he was a friend. He was close. And I believe that's the same promise. This is all in this passage. This is what our life's to look like. You showed Israel's sons what you could do. You revealed yourself. You're so kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it, and so very patient with God who fail with. You're so very patient with people who fail you. He is so patient with people who fail him. I have great grief in my heart about moments in my young adult life when I was truly mad at God. I don't even like talking about it. And I'd be like, there were a couple moments where I just like yelled at heaven, you know? And I'm grieved because it was in faith and I was really upset. I don't even like remembering it. Because it's so foolhardy. I don't want to come at God like that. There's those moments, and it proves his mercy. Because, you know, in those times, like, we would not tolerate. We don't. Someone gets in our face about something when we're trying to be nice to them. Oh. Very few of us can restrain ourselves. Let your teenager come at you with a lot of accusations, and it doesn't take long, and you're like, right? Hopefully. God's so patient with us. And he's so good, and he's kind, and the world is full of this frustration and this abhorrence to God. If there is a God, why would he this? Why would he that? And this. And we need to come along and have answers and wisdom for that, because it's a really, you don't have to go far and bump into that thing, right? People that are mad at God, people that have changed the whole thing, like, no, God wouldn't be that way. What if he is? Well, I can't stand the thoughts of that. So we bump into people at different places that don't understand, but I'm good with who God is. Like, I'm totally good. Even the scary parts. I'm very good about that because he's God, and I like that. And I have a secret. I know how to be on his good side. So I don't have fear of that thing coming at me unless I get on his bad side. Like, get over there. And we don't have to remove that element in grace. We really do not. You're so kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it, and so very patient with people who fail you. Just take that message right there. Just take that scripture and go out this week and look for opportunities to use that. Because there's always an accusation, there's always judgment. If they're not yelling, they're not upset at God, they're upset at somebody else. How could they do such and such? And we can come along and go, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go there. Because you're forgetting about this in your life and that in your life and all the other things in your life that you and I don't even see right now. It's bad business to get all in a, you know, judgmental attitude about things and people, and especially God, and miss who you are and how undeserving you actually are to still be sucking air, you know. That's when you really get the revelation, like, this is mercy. God owes me nothing. He is kind. He would not have to tolerate my pathetic life. And in case I hadn't sinned enough before I was redeemed, I've definitely screwed up enough since then to be game over. You know, that's what I deserve. So I live in mercy, and that's a good thing. I live in the covenant, and I latch onto the promises because they're given to me because I believe, not because I'm good. All that I have and all of this You will not always be finding fault, never holding a grudge against us in verse 9, for your mercy overcomes our mess. You may discipline us for our many sins, but never as much as we really deserve, nor do you get even with us for what we've done. That's an incredible thing about God. Even if he disciplines you, it's not about I'm done with you and I'm going to punish you and I'm going to throw you in a big dark pit. It's very important to go back over these elemental things and understand that's not how he deals with us. And if you think that, you need that fixed, that arranged. He disciplines as a father, as a mother, as a parent who's, I'm disciplining you so you do better. I get no joy out of punishing you. That doesn't prove anything. I get nothing out of your punishment. Have you ever grounded your kids and you go, they may not be suffering, but all of us are now. Raising your children is a lot like playing chess. Yeah, it needs to be approached with a lot of thought and prayer, right? It's real easy to get your little king and queen in an awkward position. Like, that was dumb. Why'd I do that? God's not playing chess with us. His benefits are abundant, and we want to meditate on this. His forgiveness, his kindness, his mercy, his healing, inside out, all that he has. How many of you had a mess recently that you're like, oh God, what am I going to do about this? And to be able to trust, the Lord will help me in this. I'm not going, it doesn't matter. I'm saying, this is a real mess. I really said this and meant that, or I really didn't see what I was getting into, and now I'm into it. Help me, deliver me, fix this. And to do that with confidence, the Lord promised he would help my messes. That's huge, especially for me. I always feel like you screwed it up, you fix it. I mean, it's one thing to clean up your mess by repenting and apologizing. That's cool. Yeah, I get that. But man, some of these like, So to have the confidence that he'll fix it, like, I screwed up again. I forgot this. I offended somebody. I didn't mean to. And I tried to fix it and it's not going well. And these are the messes you can trust the Lord and go, Lord, you promised you'd help. I goofed up again. And to trust, but I believe with my heart's right, you're gonna intervene and fix it. That's big. That's really huge. That's really huge. And some of our messes are pretty big. They can be hard to get over. That day comes when you make a mess and you go, uh-oh. You know, you're going game over. Ever had that day? That's a bad day. And to trust, this is in the benefit package. I'll fix your messes. Really? Even when I should have known better? Oh, absolutely. I know what you're made of. You do? Isn't that awesome when you're in relationship with one another and you're in these covenant relationships where the people around you really, really have grace? And I'm not talking about enablement. I'm just talking about when you go, I messed up, and the people around you are like, yeah, it's okay. It's good. I wrecked the car. We'll fix it. I ran over your lawnmower. It will replace it. If we don't tap into this, if you don't tap into this for your personal life, you have no testimony. Do you understand how important this is? And the goal isn't to become perfect. The goal is become baptized in the provision and promises of the Lord. That's the goal. Well, okay, yeah, good. The goal is to get good at at meditating on the coverage. Yeah. Yeah. There's not a one of you here that are that powerful that you can screw up something that God can't fix. Do you understand that? If you think, you're like, I'm telling you right now, you're delusional. If you think that your ability to screw up is bigger than his ability to fix it, you need saved. Like, you need to meet the Savior. He is the hero. And I think that's the language, and I'm gonna close with this. Somewhere here in this passage, as I was looking through all of this and meditating on it, there's this language. You are our hero. I can't find it right now. It's like, yeah, you are. And we believe in heroes. We believe in role models. We believe in people that we, you know, people in situations where we like to just really go, wow, aren't they awesome? Our sports people and our, you know, our whatever the thing is that you look at. We know how to do that. We know how to admire. We know how to be infatuated with people that have achieved certain things. To understand that Jesus is our hero. He's our active hero champion. He's the champion. Katie Torwalt sang a song, you're the champion. You're the champion. He's our champion. He's our champion. He's our champion. He's our champion. So, as a starter for today, for ministering, do you have something you need to tap in? Do you need to get out? You need to move out of the awareness of how you feel, what you're stuck in, the regret that you're living in, the failure, and committed to the Lord and tap in to the promises of his forgiveness, of his provision, of his healing, of how you feel about yourself actually needs to be superimposed with how he feels about you. And another passage, another verse in here is like meditating on your love is like the grandeur of the heavens. That's that thing where we're looking up in the sky, the beautiful sky or the night sky and the heavens, and you look at the stars. You know what's amazing about it is that you cannot see to the end of it. You can look as hard and long as you can, and you can't get to the end. What's amazing about our sky? The real amazement is that it doesn't end. I love to look up. And you look up and you realize there's not an end to that. It's grandeur. It's amazing. And now relate that amazingness. Hopefully you've been in awe at some sight, some wonder. His love and mercy is like that. It's that grandeur. Of you. It's just like that. When you get it, it will take your breath away. You'll be like, oh, wow. The problem is we don't get it. We read it. We have the words. We're not living in that. That's why I say we've got to meditate on this, and it's got to get beyond what I feel and get into what I know, and we need the Spirit to reveal these things to us. So if you understand, you may be sitting there, I agree with all of that. Agreeing is great, that's good, but do you have it? And if you don't, I would make haste to ask for it. And by coming up and engaging in any way that you feel today, I encourage you, get prayer. Haven't tapped into the fullness of healing? Come. Say, I want to stand and meditate on your provision. Can't forgive yourself or can't forgive somebody? Don't stay there. Go, I got to keep bringing this to the, you know, I need to access the coverage. I know it's there. It's paid for. It's bought for. It's provided. I can't tap into it. Don't stay there. Don't walk away going, yeah, I know I should, or I know, you know, other people seem to get it. I don't get it. Don't do that. Don't stay there. Tap in. Come in. So let's just wait on the